This is a recording of William W. McLean, and it's November 2nd, mm-hmm. 2005, and Joan Weaver is the interviewer, and Mr. McLean is just going to start off here.
Okay, I was the second son of Grover Cleveland McLean and Cora Walker McLean. My two brothers were Grover St. John McLean and Robert Edward McLean. We grew up on a farm a mile and a half south of Lewis. We attended Lewis High School and all became farmers. My grandparents on my father's side migrated from Ireland and settled near Horizington, Kansas. My grandfather was a tailor, and he and my grandmother were married in the little church around the corner in New York City. They were Samuel McLean and Mary Watson McLean. They moved from Horizington to the farm south of Lewis. They turned the farm over to my dad and moved to Kinsley. He purchased land in western Kansas during the Dust Bowl days. I remember harvesting wheat when it was 25 cents a bushel, scooping it on the ground to wait for a better price, and scooping it up again for the same price. I graduated from high school in 1934, and things were rough on the farm. My dad said that if we boys would stay with him, he would leave the farm for us. That is Robert and Bill with the boys. My dad sold the land near Johnson and bought its place, the plan where I live. We moved there in 1941. I met Evelyn Brown in 1938. She grew up on the farm south of Centerview and was teaching in the grade school at Lewis. I was farming for my dad and out west at this called suitcase farming. We dated for 4 years before we could get married. She was getting $90 a month, and my dad was paying me $25 a month for hard labor on the farm. In those days, if one member of the family had a job, jobs were saved for families who had no job. Thus, when we were married, my wife was let go from her teaching job. Bob and Bill rented one sandy quarter together and used the crop to get married. I had 3 children. They all attended Lewis High School. Brenda, the oldest, graduated from physical therapy and later got a specialist degree in rehabilitation counseling. Christina, the second child, graduated from Fort Hays College. She is a school teacher in Chickasha, Oklahoma. She married a local boy, Terrell McBride. Our youngest son, Val Scott, was quite an athlete. He was quarterback on the high school team and was on the state basket winning ball team from Lewis in 1971. His first love was baseball. He graduated from Florida State University, earned a master's degree from Kansas State University, and a doctorate later on from Kansas State. He is a basketball coach and head counselor in Allen County Community College in Iola, Kansas. He has been there over since he graduated with a master's degree in Kansas State. One of the highlights of my life was that I invented a silo loader for upright silos. I received a patent and sold it to New Holland Machine Company. They flew us back to New Holland, Pennsylvania to sign the contract, then gave us a car to drive to New York City, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C., then flew us home. While in New York, we saw the first rendition of My Fair Lady and the Rockets. My mother's people came from Dighton, Kansas. They homesteaded a quarter of land next to the town. Cora graduated from high school and came to Lewis to work in the Home State Bank of Lewis. My dad was a bachelor living on the farm and married Cora Walker. The house that is on the farm now was moved from another quarter. I have 7 grandsons and 1 granddaughter, and I'm proud of them all.
Okay, now I've got to know some more about this silo. Get this back on that. The silo that you invented, or the loader?
Uh-huh. Right? See, I fed a lot of cattle, and it was upright silos. You'd have to climb up the silo, scoop it out, scoop it on the truck. Well, I invented this silo and loader that would go on top of that silo, and you get down and little throw electric switch, and it'd come down to you like that, into it.
Huh. And what year did you invent that?
Oh. The girls were in high school. And we picked the whole family up by airplane in Dodge City, and big twin engine plane, and flew us back there. And it was quite a deal for the girls. They got to see New York City and all that, you know, through the Capitol building, you know what I mean.
Now you weren't an engineer or anything.
No.
You just invented this.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah. You heard that. And it worked good. And I had all kinds of interest calls at 2 o'clock in the morning about, when did you perfect this? When did all that show? And they, of course, they wouldn't know, get around the patent or something like that.
Yeah.
But I bought it, or I sold it to New Holland Machine Company. I have no idea whether they were making them now or not. Things have changed in that field. They used to be that the upright silos were a change from putting it in a trench silo. Mm-hmm. And the trench silos would get water in them and they were a mess. Okay, nowadays they're stacking on the ground. And they can take a tractor and load it that way. So it's kind of done away with my machine, mm-hmm. See. But I haven't heard whether they've been selling any of them or not.
Well, that's really interesting. If you had any of the papers or something that we could copy to put in our files, that would be fun. Bring them in. We can just photocopy them and then give them right back.
I've got the patents, property rights, and all that stuff.
Okay.
But we made the deal. I'll tell you a funny thing about it. These two guys come out from, they were supposed to meet me at my place to make the deal, kind of the semi-deal. They got there at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was raining in the east, and they couldn't have slowed up by the rain. They got there at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when we came to the agreement, what we were supposed to do. See? But then, of course, later on, they picked us up at Dodge City and flew us back there.
Well, that probably was a nice little chunk of change for you, too.
Right? Yeah, it was pretty good. The first deal was $100,000.
Wow.
See? But they went back to the company, and they just kind of, a little young guy like that, they kind of got it down to about 50,000. But I made a pretty good shot.
That's pretty good for something you were going to invent for yourself anyway.
That's true. And at a time when the girls was getting ready to go to college, see, and I put them through college on.
Now, you said your grandparents, your father's side, well, anyway, we're from Ireland, right?
What
brought them here, you know, to this
country?
I
have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have no idea. But they run a tailor shop. I didn't mention that.
Yeah, I think you did.
They run a tailor shop in New York City.
Oh.
And they were married in a little church around the corner. They married.
Oh, when they came out here, he remained a tailor?
I have no idea why they came to Hoisington, Kansas.
But did he remain a tailor in Hoisington?
No.
No. He became a farmer.
In fact, he left the family.
Oh.
Well, there's about, I don't know how many, there's about 8 or 10 in the family. And he left them, no good son of a gun, he left them.
Yeah, take them to a new place and then leave?
That's what he did. And, you know, I saw the place. My dad took me up there in Hoisington where they lived. It was a bank house. They had just scooped in the side of a bank, and that was their home. How they lived in it, I'll never know.
Sort of they like should, a soddy, it would have had wood
for the
roof.
It's like a silo if you scoop in the side.
And then a wooden roof.
I grabbed blood this morning.
How old was your father when his father left?
You know, I don't know, and I don't know where he was born. He was evidently born in New York City before they moved out there.
Well, how did the family survive without their breadwinner?
I have no idea on that either.
Did you ever tell stories about being poor? Or?
I've never heard.
Never heard.
But I will tell you this. There was a cousin to my dad, came to New York City as a lad. Couldn't get a job, and he joined the Army there. And the Army put him out around Hayes, Kansas, fighting the Indians. He was in an Indian skirmish up around Hayes one time, and Custer's horse got killed, and he took his horse.
Oh, really?
So he played dead, see, and then he'd hide in the daytime, and he knew he had these people at Hoisington, and he was going down there to get out of his Army uniform. One night he run the wrong direction, and he woke up inside of Fort Hayes the next morning. He'd run the wrong way. But you know, homesteaded a quarter of land there in his own name. And the owner they found didn't find his name on it. The records haven't had any effect yet.
So let me get this straight. Custer's, he was with Custer?
He was in Custer's, and Custer's horse got shot.
And so Custer?
Custer commanded his horse.
Took his horse, and that left him on foot, and he decided it was just a good time to walk.
That's right, and he walked.
Well, that's a good story.
Well, I haven't got that down. And a really peculiar thing how that runs. He went finally to Canada.
This is the cousin?
Yeah, this guy. He had no children. I guess he had one child. I forget. I won't even get into that. But later on, when his second child died, he left my dad an estate of about $2,000 or $3,000. And they didn't touch much of it. Canada didn't take it up. It looked like they were lawyers or Jesus got it all, but they didn't.
Back then, they were. Well, that is here either. Your shirt is slippery. Let me try putting it in a different place.
Slippery.
Or this thing.
Put it in my pocket.
Well, that's an idea. I wonder if that's close enough. I'll try that.
Are you still getting me on that now?
I think so.
With all, am I telling you all this crap?
See those little lines moving? That's you talking.
You mean that wasn't supposed to be recorded?
Oh no! This is what we want to hear. We want to hear these good stories.
Right.
Yeah, we want to hear some of these stories. I'm trying to think. So what was it like for you to grow up as a farm boy? You told us a little bit that you only got $25.
It was tough. In 1934, I graduated. They were starting to get their farm programs in a little bit, so things eased up a little bit. But before that, and a peculiar thing about it, before 1929, when the stock market boomed, had money just pretty little. I remember I raised a crop of watermelons, and I came over here to Kinsley with a truckload, and everybody's willing to buy one. And I went home with my pockets full of money. Or at the next thing, they just, you couldn't make a dime on anything. It changed that quick. Kind of worried about it right now.
Did you have both livestock and crops?
We were at that time. We were growing wheat and wheat only. And drought come in. You know what I mean? You'd have a crop ready to come in, and go in and the rain finish it, and it'd burn it. You'd go out and cut a water hose in the low places to get your seed wheat for next year. It was bad. It was tough.
That was during the 30s?
And then my dad, he went into cattle business, see, and we bought cattle. They wouldn't make us much through the winter, but we'd pasture the cattle and make about $10 a head on them. And I think it saved us through the depression so we would be around. But he finally came along and gave us the land, like he said.
So you were earning the land all those years? Now that would have been different with your wife making $90 and you making $25, and then she had to give up the job.
Well, I don't know how I'll record this or not, but then my dad was on the school board. Mm-hmm. All right, they didn't want two people to have a job here and there, so there was one lady that was later on the school board that was in. Her husband was a grocer in there, so they had to cut her off. So if you had two jobs, that's right. So Evelyn and I couldn't get married, and she had a job. That's why she had to drop her off. See?
Yeah. Well, that was typical, I think.
Those days, you could just one guy would have a job.
Well, when you were a kid, what'd you do for fun when you weren't doing all the chores?
I was very, I make little tractors and stuff like that. Worked with my hands. In the shop, see what I mean?
So metal or wood or
metal or anything I could. I made little tractors and always with tinkering with my hands and stuff like that. So probably why I invented the silent one. So I had a hired hand by the name of Henry West come out to work for me. And he had all kinds of tools that he'd loan me the tools to work with. See?
You still have any of those little tractors and things?
No. They're gone. But I was always doing something like that. Or flying kites, stuff like that.
You Right, you had to make your own kites, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
At least in Kansas, you got weather to fly them.
I used to put a can on the tail of a kite and put a parachute in there. And then I'd take the kite off and go way out there as far as it could. Jerk. And then the parachute would come and float down.
Oh, I've never seen that. let's see. How about like the holidays? We just got done with Halloween. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. What did you celebrate?
I don't do
those?
Any much Halloween.
What did you when you were a kid? Did you do much with it?
Not much. I did make a gun once. That was a piece of an implement shaped like I thought was a gun with a hollow barrel, and I cut a notch in it to put the firecracker wick out there. And I could hit the West Barn, which is about 300 yards up there. I didn't get hurt.
I was going to say, it's a wonder it didn't come back
wonder
and blow your face.
Shatter that up. But I did do that. But aside
from
that.
Did you hunt back then as a kid?
No.
Did you really hunt? Was there
Well, my dad kept us pretty busy. We had cows to milk and things like that. We didn't
Well, there wasn't as much hunting when you were a kid, was there? I mean,
no,
there weren't
he never either. Hunted and he never even had a shotgun. So, no. But I've enjoyed hunting. I used to hunt pheasants. I kind of quit. I let the boys do it. In fact, I'm going to have a crowd. My grandkids are all going to be there. They'll be a week after this.
My pheasants eating open.
And I've been getting ready for the house and beds and let them sleep in my garage and stuff like that.
Well, that's fun.
So they love it. They've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years. And we all meet at Mesa in Christmas time, the whole family there. And I've got a house to live. I've got a bedroom in the house. And then there's a lean-to, but I've got an extra room. And then I rent rooms out there. But we went to our 50th wedding anniversary. They came out to celebrate it. And they've been coming ever since. And they love it out there.
How many years have you been married? 60?
About four.
64.
I've been married in 41, say. Mm-hmm. I just can't figure that out.
And how about Thanksgiving? How did you celebrate that as a kid?
We always used to have a turkey. And my mother was a very good cook. I had a very good mother.
Well, tell me about her.
Oh, I see. There's not much to tell her. She just was any church service that we went to. She had more than enough food to go to the church supper. She wasn't tight at all. And a good cook. She was good.
And Christmas? What did you do for Christmas?
Well, I can remember our Christmas wasn't just too rosy then. We didn't have the money. My folks, I know. I remember one time we went to church and they went to handing out gifts, and my dad didn't want to come publicly what he was giving me. I got a little pocket comb for him. I know he was ashamed of it. See,
oh, you took your gift. You took your gifts to the church to give.
Yeah,
to your
they had a gift exchange for, at the church. You see, and they called. I remember a kid by the name of Leroy Brown. Oh man, he got everybody was calling him, to come up and get his presents. You know. But they didn't call me.
Did you have a Christmas tree?
He did that one time. He put a Christmas tree at home, see, but he gave that up after that.
Just a cedar tree from the field, or?
No.
Well, when you and your wife were first married, what did you do for entertainment, or to, you know, when you were courting?
I don't know. She taught school for a while after we were married, see. They come on and let her do that. She taught at, she first taught at the Centerview School, I believe it was. Or Fellsburg, I believe it was Fellsburg. Oh, she taught there. Then later, they asked her to come up to Belfry. And then later, she went to Maxwell School. And what did we do? We played golf when we were good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we took up the game of golf.
Where was the golf course?
Over here at Kidley, in the course. And we still, she can't play now. She's got trouble with her feet and stuff. She can't get around. So,
were there a lot of young couples that played? Or?
Yeah, quite a few. Quite a few young couples our age would be playing. So, but we enjoyed it, and it's good entertainment.
How was the golf course back then? Was it pretty rough? Or?
We started, it had sand green. And no grass fairway. And we played out there one summer, and they said, let's just quit this and go fix this place up. We didn't have an engineer or anything, but they did a very good job of making greens, you know what I mean? They'd make greens, and the fairways are beautiful. Have you been out there?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been out there?
I don't play golf, but I've been out there.
You've been, buddy, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we've got a man now that just loves to work on it.
Well, was that all volunteer work then, basically, or did
a
you?
A lot of it, yes. Of it? Yes, a lot of it. I,
somebody
the dig,
it
when
up?
They dug the trenches, put the water lines in, I was familiar with the grader, and I've got a tractor, and you fill it, and gets us up. Yeah, volunteer work.
Hmm. That'd be quite an, what year was that, in the 30s, or where, 40s?
Oh, no,
40s,
that was
probably,
about the 40s, yeah, 40. Just after we had married, probably 45, in that neighborhood.
After the war and stuff, when you had other
right,
neighbors.
That's right, that's right.
Did you have a farm deferment in the war?
Did I have a what?
A farm deferment?
Yeah, in the war, yes, I did. Oh, I worked myself to death, scooping that silage.
Mm-hmm.
I'd scoop it on. A peculiar thing about it, you could get a hired hand to help you. I don't know why they weren't in the Army, but they weren't with the band. But I helped scoop the silage on a truck, and then we'd go scoop it off, feed the cattle like that.
How many head did you have back then?
Probably, we had about 300 or 400.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were pretty busy. So. And I milked a bunch of cows. I'd milk probably 8-10 cows, and then go over and work on the farm over where I was raised, you know.
And what... milk was sold to a dairy, or?
Yeah, they'd come and pick them up in these big 10-gallon cans. They'd come around. And of course, I didn't milk them by hand. I had a milking machine. But it still, you had to be out there early in the morning.
Every day, twice a day.
I worked after everybody was, you know, off, too.
Yeah. Milk cows are a lot of work.
You betcha. I don't complain at all about the price of milk.
Did you, let's see, I'm trying to think, you were born in 1916, so what kind of cars do you remember way back?
Oh, Lord. Model T's. I can remember my dad bought a new Model T, and no curtains or anything. And I remember sitting in the back of it. I wanted to pretend that I was warm, because it was a nice new car. And it was cold as hell.
I bet. But he was able to buy a new car.
Oh, yeah. He bought a new car. My old Model T.
What was your first car?
I used V8. The model. I forget what that model. But I remember one time, they were liberal on who could drive, your license age and all that. And I went to go to that Model T of my dad's uptown for some reason or other. I don't know what it was. And I went to turn the cross thing and got my foot. You know, you got three levers on it. And I jumped four wheels over the curb. And some guy was sitting on that bench. There was a bench here where they sold cow cream or stuff like that. And I could see him grab some kid and jerk him, get him out of the road, see. And he was nice enough to back it back, and I just turned around and went back home.
How old were you, do you think?
I was 13. I don't remember exactly. But I was too young to be driving.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
What do you remember about your going to school?
We had a consolidated school then. See, I didn't go to a country school. And a school bus come out by and pick us up. You have a lot of experiences on school buses, too, you know.
Like what?
Oh, you get some kids at and you throw it around.
Don't think it's changed.
But aside from that,
did you like school?
Oh, I was more interested in the things I had in projects at home. I wish, now that I look back on it, I could have been a lot better student if I concentrated on my schoolwork rather than what I wanted to do when I get back home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might have become an engineer with your inventing.
Well, that's right.
Possibilities.
I've got one grandson right now that's going to Little Rock, Arkansas, in the engineering school. He makes straight A's. And he's just about ready to graduate. I know he's an electrical engineer.
What was the best day of your life?
Well, I should say when I married my wife.
But you don't have to.
Let's put that down. See.
Okay. Well, you certainly had a long, nice marriage.
Yeah, she's really, really nice. She's just so much smarter than I am. It's pitiful.
What was the worst day of your life?
When I found out she had a operation. She's had all kinds of operations. She had a tubal pregnancy. Damn near killed her. But we went around in those days. I went to Dodge City to a doctor. He didn't do anything. Finally, our doctor, a regular Easter doctor, was Dr. Shepherd, and he was on vacation or something. Came home. And I called, and he was home. I took her up, and he diagnosed her just like that. He said, that's a two-week pregnancy. It's a wonder. Well, her mother died. She died at 38, I think, like that. And my wife and her sisters raised a little boy. That's what caused her two-week pregnancy. The little boy was one of them was in the tube yet, so never been.
So
she had a terrible life. They were poor and a bunch of them, you know. In fact, the house where is it? I believe over a block. I'm not sure. I believe maybe up this way. A little house there, it's vacant now. That's where she was raised in, and about seven of them. You know about how tight that was.
Is there one person in your life that stands out that influenced you or was important to you? Somebody stands out in your memory?
I really can't think of anybody. I don't want any one person. Sure thing.
Which one of your relatives or friends when you were growing up was most influential, do you think? Yes, that could be good or bad.
I can't think of anybody.
Your father was, you said, you know, had lots of chores for you to do.
Oh, definitely. I was running a tractor. I don't know how young I was, but I was running a tractor.
But he gave you time to make your things too somehow, or did you?
Oh, yeah, times. I had time to do it, you know.
And he encouraged that?
No.
No. He wanted you working,
no.
Huh?
He probably thought it was foolish, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a real interesting thing when we got to fly back to New York City on that plane. My little boy, he was just preschool, and there was clouds underneath that airplane, you know, and he wouldn't know if he could get out and play on them clouds. And he thought he owned that damn airplane. He'd walk up them stairs in there. And he tried to catch those doves. You've seen them doves in New York City. Mm-hmm. Oh, he would try to run and catch those, you see.
How were you there, like a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, I suppose it was about a week. I went through all the halls of Congress, you know.
Was that had you traveled much before then outside?
No, not much. But that was interesting. At My Fair Lady, we saw the stage show, My Fair Lady.
Is that Rex Harris?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That would be a good one.
Set by ladies that had big fur coats on and stuff. That didn't cost me. See, the company that sold us to arranged her tickets on that stage. And that's an experience coming out from under that tunnel, under the Hudson River, you know. You go in there like that, and there'll be a guy who's got them. Hurry up. You see, you have a tendency to slow down. So they don't want you to slow them down. Mm-hmm. Give me a motion to hurry up. And when you come out the other end, oh, man, buildings. And but I will say this, the traffic, when you was in a lane and you want to change, they would let you yield. There was no, they had lived well enough with them so they know that you had to. And then we drove up to a hotel and checked it in. And then they took the car, see what I mean? I went from there, bus sightseeing.
That had to be quite a trip for your kids and
it
everybody.
Really was.
Because that wasn't something that everybody was doing around you, I don't imagine.
We went down to one place. There was this, what do you call it, the Bowery or something like that?
Yeah, it's
the most terrible thought. One guy was, he'd ever in a message pants and they'd be washing it out of the hose, you know. So it's a place like that. And one place, there's a church here. We went in there in the Bowery where you just got up and sat on a bench. And the minister, of course, would come up and talk to us a little bit. Pretty interesting.
Did you go to
he said, I have had the guys come in there and said drunk. They couldn't hardly sit on that bench to be preached to, you know.
Did you go up to the Statue of Liberty?
Oh, yes. Yes, I went up to that. You know, I thought that Statue of Liberty, and my vision was east of New York City. It's south. And we rode out there on the boat and went up there. I walked up them stairs, you know what I mean, and my legs get out of them. I thought I was going to carry me to the boat.
You don't do stairs in Kansas, do you?
No, not that many. But I did. I'm telling you, my legs, I thought they were going to quit me. We went clear up, you know, what all. Mm-hmm. But we went there.
And the Rockettes are still going. I think they were on the Today Show this morning.
And that was an interesting thing. They had they was on top of that. I don't know whether we ought to be recording all this or not.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But you can cut it off anybody you want to. The Rockettes, they have a stage generally. Mm-hmm. They can move that stage and stuff like that. They can make it move. But it's interesting to see them Rockettes. They were good. Mm-hmm.
It's quite a trip.
That Show My Fair Lady, though, was a good one.
I like musicals. I like a good musical.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, let's see here. Well, this is a hard question. I don't know if you want to answer this one. I wonder about this one here. What is one thing from your life you'd rather no one knew? And then you're going to tell me.
No, I don't have any place like that.
Well, what is the one thing from your life you wish everyone should know? What do you think people should know? What have you learned?
Well, I guess, suppose my religion. Born again. I suppose that would be it.
Where did was it your mother and father that raised you in the faith? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was raised an Episcopalian. In fact, you know this little church you got here? That was their church. And my grandmother was quite active in that church. And Bradell was her name. Mm-hmm. And one thing I remember that, they were going to dedicate a window in her honor. And they had an out-of-town priest come here to narrate to them. Mm-hmm. When it come to calling her name, he'd forgotten her name. Dedicating a window to... he couldn't remember the name. I'll never forget that. That was a pause that was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But his side of the family are all Episcopal.
And then your mother's side?
I think Methodist. And I think that's what they finally decided to compromise and go to the Christian church. But she was raised Methodist. And he was raised Episcopal. Without kind of an agreement they had to go to the
future. Well, the religion, if your faith has played an important part in your life?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, let's see. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I probably bored you with a lot of things.
Oh, no. This has been very good. I think we've covered most of the things that you and other questions, plus a lot more.
You know, so, I'll tell you this here.
Okay.
You know, that guy that went to Canada had no children. Mm-hmm. His wife died. And he left us an estate of about $6,000-$7,000. I was talking to an uncle of mine in Drumright, Oklahoma. He was in the hospital. Wondering how he's going to pay his hospital bill. And that got his share of that. And he said, I'll be damned. Somebody I didn't even know give me this money to pay the damn hospital bill.
What was that the cousin's name who went to Canada? Do you know what his
name?
Don't
know what his name was. No,
don't his name.
I don't know what his
he
name
was. He was just your...
It
your
would
father,
be no
your grandfather's cousin, you said?
I presume it would be that, yeah. Whether it was McLean or not, his name. I don't know. I don't know. It'll be on my dad made a trip up to Hoosier to go through the book to see if it was true that he had homesteaded that quarter land, and his name was on the book that he ordered that land. Now I don't know what his name was, he didn't tell me. But he left that estate there, and did. My dad got it. He had about $2,000 or $3,000 of it. Nice time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
his uncle in Randy was telling, oh, God, he swore quite a bit. He's talking to goddamn somebody I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Left me enough money to pay my house bill.
It's funny how things happen.
That's right. Sometimes you have to.
Well, I appreciate you coming in.
A lot.
And
I hope I've helped you some way or not.
Yeah, here.
I'm not sure you shouldn't just cut some of it out.
Let's see here. Oh, well.